Monday show, guys, you have no idea the madness that is going to ensue on this show, which I can say is going to be more and more the case as we head towards elections. Yes, 2018 elections are already afoot. Anyway, those 2018 stories, a little bit more on that tomorrow and the rest of the week. But today we have nothing but madness. Bob Corker starts World War III with Donald Trump. Yes, he's a Republican senator. That story is amaze balls. Okay, absolutely amazing. You cannot miss the details of that story. That's the next segment. Mike Pence goes to the Colts game, leaves. What a hilarious scam that was. I'll show you, including the photos they sent out. You're gonna love that story. Then we've got beautiful soft towels on the show. Can you guess who talked about beautiful soft towels? Of course, Donald Trump. And what the hell is he talking about? It's an amazing story. Then in the second hour, the FBI has a new category of people to look out for violent actions, and it is called black identity extremists. Completely made up, and it is to lump black activists together with people who are actually doing violence. It is unbelievable. We'll have that story for you. Speaking of unbelievable, did you see the Dove ads? What on God's green earth were they thinking? Completely racist ads, weirdly, clearly, like it's almost a throwback to centuries ago. How could they not have seen that that was racist? It's unreal. And then finally, cocaine on the program. Also in the second hour, cocaine. I will partly defend its use, okay? You'll see, you'll see. It's a banana show, I'm not kidding. Okay, having said bananas, we go to Trump. Okay, Donald Trump decided he was gonna go on Mike Huckabee's program on Trinity Broadcasting Network. They were gonna talk about different priorities they had. Oh good, that could be useful and informative. Well, they didn't get healthcare passed, and they were gonna talk about that, and Trump's gonna explain that it's coming back, it's never dead, it's a zombie. But the way that he flippantly explains how unimportant it is both hilarious and haunting. Let's watch.
Well, I'm very disappointed with a few people, because honestly, we have some great people in the Republican Party, and they're getting hurt because of a few people that wouldn't raise their hand for health care. And we're going to get health care too. We're going to get health care. We'll have health care before the election, but we're going to get health care. And block granting the money back to the states so the states can take much better care. It's a smaller form of government. It's, you know, in theory, I want to focus on North Korea. I want to focus on Iran. I want to focus on other things. I don't want to focus on fixing somebody's back or their knee or something.
Look, if it was the first time that Donald Trump had said something crazy, I guess our heads would explode more. As it is, they're going to explode a little bit here. So he just dismissed healthcare with, like, I can't be focusing on fixing people's backs and knees. First of all, newsflash for you, you're not the actual doctor. That's not what we're talking about here. I clarify this because there's some chance he doesn't know. Remember, earlier in his administration, he said, nobody knew this, but healthcare turns out to be complicated. No, everyone in the country but you knew that fact. So now he comes, I don't have time to fix people's backs and knees. Oh my God, imagine if Trump was your doctor. I'd be like, look, whatever I got, I'll keep it. Just don't touch me. Okay. But to him, healthcare that affects the lives of, well, obviously hundreds of millions of Americans, all of us, but tens of millions of Americans would lose health insurance under his plan. He's like, I don't have time for your backs and knees. So horribly dismissive. And of course, the usual nonsense braggadocio about we're gonna get healthcare. We're gonna get healthcare. I know you got a secret plan, right? Like the one you told us about before your election about how you were gonna repeal and replace Obamacare on day one. How'd that turn out? It didn't turn out that well, did it? Okay, so he doesn't care about you. He, in this case, literally doesn't have your back or your knees. Okay, clear enough, I'm moving forward. Okay. I have an announcement for you guys, hence the bugle. We are starting TYT Investigates. I don't think that that's what I'm supposed to do when I'm introing a segment about how we're gonna do objective journalism. All right, don't worry, I'm not the one doing it. Okay, so remember, guys, we raised $2 million from the audience from you guys to do more investigative reporting. Well, those folks were under TYT Politics. Well, we got good news for you. We're doing two channels for the price of one now. So TYT Politics will remain as it is. It will cover progressive causes, candidates, rallies, protests, just like they've always done. But we've got a new channel now that is starting called TYT Investigates, and that is for hardcore investigative journalism. So we're going to look into some of the largest companies in the world and in this country. We're going to look into certainly the largest politicians in the country, some of the bureaucrats that are making the decisions. We're going to go cover those hard stories that I believe a lot of the establishment media still leaves uncovered. And I remember the time that I was at MSNBC and I wanted to investigate a story about Ron Paul. And during the campaign, I told you guys about this. And I went looking around and couldn't find one investigative reporter at MSNBC. There was Michael Isikoff, but he was working for NBC and MSNBC and didn't have time to chase down stories for MSNBC anchors. They don't have investigative reporters in the building. They have people who go on the campaign trail. They have people who go and ask questions at press conferences. But there's almost no investigative reporting done at the cable news station. So you guys stepped to the plate. You helped us hire a lot of folks. And if you go right now, we're launching tytnetwork.com/investigates today. It's up right now. And you can see some of the articles that they already wrote. And that is from Naomi LeChance, Michael Tracy, and the managing editor, Jonathan Larson. But we've got more coming up for you, including tomorrow. We're going to drop a story on two of America's biggest companies and how they relate to and how they have potentially prevaricated on the biggest program that the Trump administration has coming up. So I want you guys to look out for that in the morning. Obviously, follow TYT Investigates on Twitter and Facebook so you can get the latest stories as we break them. And that is their mission, to find the news and break it. So that team can't wait to get going, and they are. So they begins today. And we will, throughout the week, have different stories for you guys about how what you see on television from some of those corporate leaders as they support some of Trump administration policies are not true. Real hardcore investigative journalism done with facts, done with investigations into the different notes and memos, etc., of some of the government and business officials. You're gonna love it. So check it out right now. Okay. Now, I'm not done yet with celebrating journalism or any of these similar related topics. So let's go to Jamil next, okay? So Jamil Hill is an anchor for ESPN. She's gotten in a little bit of trouble before for tweeting about how Donald Trump believes in white supremacy. Well, there's a good reason for that. He said during a alt-right, white nationalist, neo-Nazi march in Charlottesville, even after one of the neo-Nazis had murdered someone, that there was, quote, very fine people on both sides. So she called him out for that and his many other comments along similar lines. We covered that story earlier and obviously we had her back. She's absolutely right and it is provable. And we showed you the half a dozen instances of clear, incontrovertible racism from Donald Trump. So Jamil Hill did something similar this time, but not about Trump. Let me read you the tweet and then show you ESPN's reaction. This is about Jerry Jones. Now, it's obvious that the White House has gone to a lot of the owners and said, hey, remember, you guys are billionaire Republicans. I don't know the internal conversations, but probably had conversations about, hey, you know, the taxpayers subsidize you guys. It's called crony capitalism. We Republicans love it and we've been practicing it with you for a long time. Plus, I've got $1 trillion tax cuts coming. Would you like some of that? Or would you like me to, you know, make sure that the NFL owners are left out? I don't know that for sure, okay? You know what, we'll have TYT Investigators maybe look into it, see if we can find some facts for you guys. Okay, but obviously, what we can see from the outside is there were pressure put on. So Miami Dolphins owner and the Dallas Cowboys owner, Jerry Jones, came out and said, that's it, we're gonna make sure that the players will be standing during the national anthem. Now remember Jerry Jones, before the national anthem was played, after Trump had originally done his attack on the NFL players, had gone and knelt with his own players, again, before the anthem, but it was a powerful statement and they locked arms during the anthem. So, and Trump had criticized them. Jerry Jones, being the money hungry coward that he is, decided that of course he was going to back down and go between money and principles, money and fighting against racism. It's a joke. It's not even close. Give me the money. Show me the money. Okay, so that's the direction Jerry Jones went. And I have much harsher words for him than Jemele Hill does. But Jemele Hill said about that, this play always works. Change happens when advertisers are impacted. If you feel strongly about Jerry Jones' statement, boycott his advertisers. Whoa. Now, to me, I get it. It's a logical way to fight back. I've had my own opinions on whether that should be done to conservative talk show hosts. Generally, I don't love that approach, but that's okay, to each his own. That's her opinion. God bless her heart. It's perfectly logical and rational to have one just like that if you care about this issue. And of course, ESPN is furious. So they explain Jemele Hill has been suspended for 2 weeks for a second violation of our social media guidelines. What they didn't add but could have is, look, it's one thing if you're gonna go after the president, and that's bad, and we got some blowback from Republicans on it. Advertisers? You're talking about advertisers? No. Now you've touched the face of God. We had a great comedian on here, Maz Jobrani, and he made a great point. He sometimes goes in this comedy in the Middle East and he gets heat for it. People say, oh, but you know, you're not allowed to talk about Muhammad or God or Allah or Islam when you go to the Middle East. That's censorship. How could you do comedy there despite the censorship? And he said, look, he used to have a show on Comedy Central and they would take out all the jokes about advertisers. So he said, our God is tied. Our God is the advertisers that you're not allowed to touch under any circumstances. So she touches that third rail and ESPN's like, whoa, no way. Suspended. All right, more from ESPN. She previously acknowledged letting her colleagues and company down with an impulsive tweet. I don't think that their issue was her impulse. I think that she thought it through. She thought that was the best strategy in that case to fight back against the oppression of the players by the owners, which is clear and demonstrated by Jerry Jones. Nothing about impulse there at all. She thought it through and she did it. That's not their problem with it. Their problem with it is the money, Lebowski. All right, finally, they also said in the aftermath, all employees were reminded of how individual tweets may reflect negatively on ESPN and that such actions would have consequences, hence this decision. Now, look, ESPN as a company is allowed to set any policies they want. And yes, there's clearly lines that you can go past. And then I would say that the company was within their rights to act that way. Now, look, first of all, the company's within their rights to act any way they like. I don't have to agree with it, though. All right, let me go a little further. We're considering making Jemele Hill an offer here at TYT. We've got TYT Sports. There we do unabashed, irreverent outsider commentary, meaning that we don't have to kiss the ass of the insiders. Luckily, we don't have the NFL rights. We chose not to have them. So we can say any damn thing we like about the NFL or NFL owners or management or the athletes, or any of the things that touch sports, whether it's NFL, NBA, or anything else. So look, this is kind of a funny announcement. I don't want to be over dramatic, but so I'm going to keep it real with you guys. I know it's funny that we're doing it on air, but this is TYT and this is how we roll. Of course, I have to look at more tape of Jemele Hill, and we haven't called her yet. So ESPN, don't panic. She hasn't violated her contract or anything. She hasn't talked to us, but we are very seriously considering making an offer to Jemele Hill, because that is truth to power. That's what we do at TYT. So if ESPN and the rest of the mainstream media don't want you speaking truth to power, there is a place for you. It's called the Young Turks. So Jemele Hill, as usual on this, we have your back. Okay, always dramatic here at TYT. You never know what's coming next. Okay, we're moving forward. What's also fun is me taking notes throughout the show. All right, here we go. Now, a substantive policy issue that's coming up, although healthcare is certainly substantive as well. All right, anyways, you remember that a while back, Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer went to the White House and they hugged it out with the president. And by the way, I don't say that to criticize them. I think they did a great job there. And you know me, I'm not much for telling you that Schumer and Pelosi are doing a great job. They got what they thought was a deal there about how they were going to do DACA. That is, that's for the Dreamers, to make sure that people who were brought here when they were kids and are a great part of our country right now can stay. And apparently Donald Trump agreed to that and did not include a provision on the wall. So they were elated about that, and the news stories came out, and Donald Trump did not deny that. So that was a deal. Now, look, I said at the time, even as I said, good work on their part. Let's be careful here. Donald Trump is not one known for keeping his word a lot. So today he has released his quote unquote immigration principles. Well, first of all, that's a news flash. Turns out Donald Trump has principles. Didn't know that. So what are in his immigration principles here if he is going to do the compromise legislation with the Democrats? Well, let's find out. According to The Hill, those principles include cracking down on undocumented children. Oh, great start. Being sent to the US border from Central and South American countries, toughening of border security and immigration enforcement, and construction of a US-Mexico border wall. Oh, well, there goes that deal. Gone. So it turns out that Donald Trump over the last couple of days has met with four Republican senators and congressmen, and with a guy with no actual principles or ideology, whoever's in the room last wins. So they're like, oh, now remember you said wall, so if you're going to compromise with the Democrats, you need to have the wall. He's like, oh, right, oh, God, I forgot about the wall. Yes, all right, we're going to need the wall, that's going to be in our principles. So now Schumer and Pelosi find themselves shocked and chagrined. They put out a joint statement saying the administration can't be serious about compromise or helping the Dreamers if they begin with a list that is an anathema to the Dreamers, to the immigrant community, and to the vast majority of Americans. Well, is he serious about compromising and actually helping the Dreamers? Probably not. Of course not. He doesn't know. He changes his mind day to day, hour to hour, tweet to tweet. So, by the way, that's also good news in this case, because does that mean that this is the final word and he's definitely going to want the wall and the compromise? No, he'll change his mind tomorrow. But more of their reaction, though, from the Democrats. They reiterated on Sunday night that their agreement, quote, explicitly ruled out the border wall. Look, again, it's not a knock on Schumer and Pelosi here. They're doing the best they can with a child in office. And I have a lot of issues with them on other issues, literally, and in other topics. But in this case, they got a good deal. It's not their fault that Trump is a child and a liar. And now switch the deal. That's Donald J. Trump for you. So one last one from Schumer and Pelosi. They say, this proposal fails to represent any attempt at compromise. To which I say, of course it does, it's Trump. Now look, later he might compromise. And this might be an opening position. You know, I told Schumer and Pelosi that, but I'm going to start with this. So that later I can take out a couple of those, but put the wall back in. And then they'll have a back and forth on this. And it might be a perfectly fine negotiation strategy if you're a Republican. But when's the last time there was a successful negotiation by Donald Trump? I know he wrote a book called The Art of the Deal. And again, of course, he didn't write that book. He had a ghostwriter write that book. He couldn't put two sentences together if his life depended on it. But the reality is he's had six companies go into bankruptcy. God knows how much money he owes the Russians. And then since he's been in office, you've all seen it with your own eyes. He hasn't gotten a single deal, not one deal, not one with the Republicans, not one with the Democrats. So when he originally told them the wall would not be included and they would just go for the Dream Act, of course he was lying, slash didn't know what the hell he was talking about and had no idea that the wall was this complicated. So we'll have to see how this develops, but it ain't over till it's really, really over, because Trump can change his mind at any time. Is not known for a brilliant negotiation strategy, so likely the answer is the Republicans talked him into it, and God knows if the Republicans or Democrats will talk him into a deal at the end and what will be in that deal. But if you were prematurely celebrating that we were going to have the Dream Act pass without the wall in there, come back to reality. And reality ain't pretty. It's filled with Donald Trump's mad musings and his consistent changing of his mind. But we're nowhere near the end of this story, and there is no deal on immigration. Okay, I gotta take a quick break here. When we come back, we've got some of the best stories of today. Bob Corker, a Republican senator from Tennessee, goes after Donald Trump. I mean, to say it's full-throated is both dirty and completely correct. And Mike Pence does a PR gimmick at a Colts game. It backfires spectacularly. I think he might owe us some money. And then very beautiful soft towels by Donald Trump. Young Turks. All right, back at the Young Turks. I got tweets for you. I got messages for you. YouTube Super Chat. If you're watching on YouTube, use the Super Chat. I got to keep it real with you. We move your comments up if you do because you're helping the show. And it doesn't have to be overwhelmingly great. Like Nippon Sharma, no disrespect, wonderful message. Hello from London. I'll take it. Hi, right back at you, London. Okay, now we go to the tweets. Hashtag TYT Live to talk to us during the show. Shows live, obviously, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern on tytnetwork.com. Okay, your mama writes in, that never gets old. To be honest, you gotta be a sadist to stay and watch the Colts this season. We're gonna go to that story in just a little bit, and you're gonna love that story. I hear you. Yes, the Colts are a disaster. Yes, I drafted Andrew Luck because I'm a genius, and he won't be playing forever, apparently. Anyway, Bud Askin says, I call bullshit. VP attendance slash departure from NFL game was orchestrated to further Trump's insane agenda to erode civil liberties. Well, Bud, I got your back because I'm going to prove it in a minute. Kyla writes in, super pumped about TYT Investigates. We are too strong and coming for you. Exactly right, Kyla. Everybody check out tytnetwork.com/investigates. Okay, Joe Howard says, do it. I will donate to a drive to get Jemele Hill on the Turks, start that up. That'd be interesting, man. If we do a drive to hire each individual person, and then if we get to the number, they get hired. Interesting. Interesting. Okay, I'll think about it, Joe. Septian Patterson says, hell, while you're at it, make Van Jones an offer. His talents are wasted in lamestream news. Oh boy, that's a lot of fundraisers. Okay, take it easy, one at a time, okay? And Zoe says, absolutely make an offer so she knows people want to hear her message of truth. Hashtag too strong. Well, you got to give it to Jemele. She really does live the TYT motto of too strong. All right, now we're going to go to the next story. But while we're doing that, it's going to be an excellent catfight intro. Go. Nothing better than a Republican catfight. This time, in one corner, we obviously have Donald Trump. We have Donald Trump almost every time, because it's a catfight. He is Donald J. Troll, the king of the trolls, and he was trolling Bob Corker for reasons I'm going to explain. And in the other corner, Senator Corker from Tennessee, diehard conservative Republican. So this fight is both interesting on its face because you've got two Republicans going against each other, but also the devastating comments by Corker give you an excellent insight into what is actually going on in the White House. So how did it get started in the first place? Well, we go to the New York Times for that explanation. After a report last week, they report that Mr. Tillerson had once referred to Mr. Trump as a moron. Mr. Corker told reporters that Mr. Tillerson was one of three officials helping to separate our country from chaos. That's a quote, separate our country from chaos. Those remarks were repeated on Fox News Sunday, which may have prompted Mr. Trump's outburst. Okay, that is fair speculation. I will add, of course it did. He saw it on Fox. He's like, how could Corker possibly say that these are the guys keeping me from chaos? Otherwise, I couldn't do it on my own. And of course, Rex Tillerson's the Secretary of State that he had issues with last week. So Trump decides he's going to start a war with Bob Corker. Genius idea, that'll help you get votes in the Senate. So he tweets out, Senator Bob Corker, quote, begged me to endorse him for re-election in Tennessee. I said no. That's also in quotes and capitalized because he's a child. And he dropped out, said he could not win without my endorsement. He also wanted to be Secretary of State. I said, again, capitalized and in quotes, no thanks. He's also largely responsible for the horrendous Iran deal. Hence, I would fully expect Corker to be a negative voice and stand in the way of great agenda. Didn't have the guts to run. Okay. Look, again, if we weren't used to it, a president sending out a tweet like that about someone in his own party would be so mental that that's all that anybody would ever talk about. If these tweets were from President Obama about a Democratic senator, it would have been the largest controversy of his entire 8-year administration. By far, if he was like, Schumer's a baby, I wouldn't endorse him, so he had to run and he wouldn't do it anymore, didn't have the guts. People would be like, what? What in the world did you just say? But we're used to the president being a lunatic, so we're like, oh yeah, of course, he's attacking one of his own colleagues, a fellow Republican, and in vicious ways. And is it true? Everybody knows it's not true. So the New York Times asked Corker about it. Corker says, this is his version, when I told him that just wasn't in the cards about running for re-election, he said, you know, if you run, I'll endorse you. I said, Mr. President, it's just not in the cards. I've already made a decision. So then we began talking about other candidates that were running. Now look, I'm not one to believe any politician, let alone a Republican politician. So it's not like I look at Bob Corker and I think like the rest of the media does, like, oh, that has to do honorable, esteemed gentleman from Tennessee, he must be telling the truth. No, I have a great deal of skepticism, and he might be coloring it to his advantage a little bit too. But given the track record of the pathological lies of Donald Trump, who do you think is more likely to be telling the truth? Okay, I'm going to vote with Corker on this one. So we go forward. He says, I don't know why the president tweets out the things that are not true. You know he does it. Everyone knows he does it, but he does. So now he's talking to the New York Times in response to those tweets from the president over the weekend. But he's not done. So after he talks to the Times, and there's some really powerful quotes I'm going to get to in a second on that, he then goes back online and get a load of this. I'm going to talk about it. Senator Corker tweets, it's a shame the White House has become an adult daycare center. Someone obviously missed their shift this morning. Damn. Drums. Okay, drama in the Republican circles. That basically Bob Corker say, I'm not running for re-election anyway. What are you going to do to me? Have at it, Hoss. Okay, you want to do mean tweets? I can do mean tweets. Let's go. Let's go to war here. And they're about to. So of course Trump, he's like, what? Somebody tweeted against me. Goes back on the tweeter machine and writes, Bob Corker gave us the Iran deal, and that's about it. We needed healthcare. We needed tax cuts / reform. We need people that can get the job done. Now that's a reference to the Iran negotiations. Bob Corker, of course, voted against the Iran deal. Why? Because he's a Republican and he's absolutely wrong about that deal. But he allowed a vote in that case, which pissed off conservatives. They're like, you should never allow a vote under Obama. How dare you? And now we don't have war. Thanks a lot, Bob Corker. Even though he actually voted against the deal and would have been perfectly happy with a war, apparently. But not good enough. Someone fed that memo to Donald Trump, because there's no way in the world he knew the details of that. And he comes out and goes, oh, he gave us the Iran deal. I never liked that guy in the first place. Really? You were meeting with him 2 weeks ago. You were happy to accept his support and praise during the campaign. And by the way, Bob Corker, thank you for coming to the party. You're a little bit late. I guess we'll take it. But we also remember how much you supported Donald Trump as he was running for president. Anyway, now let's go to the devastating quotes. Corker, talking to the New York Times, said, President Trump was treating this office like, quote, a reality show with reckless threats towards other countries that could set the nation, quote, on the path to World War III. A Republican senator saying a Republican president could set us on the path to World War III because of how reckless he is and how he's treating the White House basically as a joke. Wow. This would have been by far the biggest controversy under Obama. They would have had hearing after hearing after hearing. Oh my God, you've got a Democratic senator saying that the Democratic president is going to bring us to World War III. What does he know that we don't know? We need 1,000 hearings on this. Okay, this will be like any other day. Oh yeah, of course. But this is amazing stuff, guys. Don't get used to how insane this is. So he went on to explain, in an extraordinary, New York Times reports, in an extraordinary rebuke of a president of his own party, Mr. Corker said he was alarmed about a president who acts, quote, like he's doing The Apprentice or something. Which of course is true. I think he does think that. By the way, also why he probably fires one person a week. He still thinks he's on The Apprentice. You're fired. Okay, how did I do in the ratings? You idiot, you're in the White House, that's a different job. Okay, he goes on to say, Corker does, he concerns me. He would have to concern anyone who cares about our nation. Look, that is the seventh most amazing and damaging quote from these series of interviews and tweets. But I want you to think about that. A Republican senator saying he would have to concern anyone who cares about our nation. If you're a Republican out there, what you don't know is what the people in power do know. They think that he is mentally unfit to run the presidency, that he's a danger to the whole world. That's what Bob Corker is telling you, because he's not running for re-election. He has more. He says, I know for a fact that every single day at the White House, it's a situation of trying to contain him. That's why he made the reference to the adult daycare, because he's Donald Trump's a child. And every day they have to say, please, Mr. President, you're such an idiot. Don't do that. You're going to start something that is going to have devastating consequences. Of course, they don't say it in that language, because all he cares about is ego. They have to say, Mr. President, you are so wonderful, and that tweet was fantastic. But if you could just stop with the fantastic tweets, because it might start a fantastic World War III. Okay, so more. Corker says, as long as there are people like that around, referring to John Kelly and Tillerson and Mattis, he says, who are able to talk him down when he gets spun up, you know, calm him down and continue to work with him before a decision gets made, I think we'll be fine. So he's saying, if those guys leave, watch out, because then the child will have no one to take care of him, and God knows what buttons he'll press. He says, I don't think he appreciates that when the president of the United States speaks and says the things that he does, the impact that it has around the world, especially in the region that he's addressing. And so, yeah, it's concerning to me. So when he threatens complete annihilation of North Korea, and says that, hey, ignore our diplomats like Rex Tillerson, the Secretary of State, that obviously has devastating consequences, because that means we cannot solve it through diplomacy. You just told them to ignore our top diplomat. What's the only other option left? A war. And as Bob Corker, deeply conservative Republican, is telling you, is that would be World War III. Don't do it. Watch out for the man-child in office. More, he says, a lot of people think that there is some kind of good cop, bad cop act underway, but that's just not true. That's another really important one. I've been saying this from day one. You think he is doing some sort of three-dimensional chess? He wouldn't understand two-dimensional chess if you explained it to him for hours. He'd be like, what do I tweet about this? I don't understand. He could barely understand the concept of checkers. So there's no, Tillerson's saying this and I'm doing this, and it's strategy. Every once in a while, certainly Republicans do it, but people on TV too, they'll be like, well, he won the presidency. He ran against Hillary Clinton. Anyway, he won the presidency. Maybe he has some deep strategy. There's no strategy. It's just an idiot sitting in his office and watching Fox News and tweeting. That's it. That's the whole explanation. Now it's not just me saying it, it's one of the most respected Republicans in the country saying it. Okay, he says, I know he has hurt in several instances. He's hurt us as it relates to negotiations that were underway by tweeting things out, whether it's North Korea, Iran, or other foreign relations. He goes on and say, look, except for a few people, the vast majority of our caucus understands what we're dealing with here. So he's telling you something that we've been telling you, but you didn't believe it. Or some of you, of course, believe. By the way, let's be clear. Two-thirds of the country can't stand Donald Trump. Everybody says, well, I mean, look, he must be popular. No, he's polling at about 35%. That's it. That is not popular. That is deeply unpopular. He had the distinction of beating the single most unpopular candidate we've ever had. And he didn't even beat her in the popular vote. There is no magic. He just figured out to be populist, and the Democratic Party put out an elitist candidate. That's it. The 35% is real. That means people don't like him. Only about a third of the country supports him. There's no magic here, okay? And the entire Republican caucus, according to one of their own, knows what a moron the president is, how dangerous the president is. They're just keeping it from you. Finally, he says, of course they understand the volatility that we're dealing with, and the tremendous amount of work that it takes by people around him to keep him in the middle of the road. By that, he doesn't mean the middle of the road politically. Bob Corker and the Republican caucus is deeply right wing. They're not concerned about Trump's policies being too moderate. Sometimes he's to the right of them, sometimes he's to the left of them. That's not what the issue here is. They're worried that he's going to drive off the road. He doesn't know what he's doing. And this is Bob Corker letting the whole country know, we know the Republican senators, the Republican caucus, we know that we have a madman in office. Well, Senator Corker, if you know, you have a deep responsibility to act. It's not like you can't do anything and you're not retired yet. You're still a United States Senator. And if your whole caucus knows, well, get together with the Democrats and do something about it. Because starting World War III is no light thing and shouldn't involve politics. We do have a dangerous lunatic in the White House. He is a buffoon. He has no idea what he's doing. He's a danger to the country and to the world. And now you have admitted that you know that. So the very next step should obviously be to do something about it. We're looking forward to that report. Okay, so let me give you one little bit of reaction to Corker. Okay. So Senator Bob Corker comes out and says that Donald Trump could start World War III and that the adults around him are in the act of doing adult daycare. And that if it wasn't for the adults in the room, that the child known as the President Trump could start any degree of conflict in the world and would be completely reckless and drive off the road. So first, some reporters' reactions to this. Benji Sarlin writes in, Corker's sudden turn makes you wonder what other senators would be saying if they never had to worry about re-election again. That's certainly true. And apparently, according to Corker, the entire caucus, almost the entire caucus, knows that in fact the president is dangerous and a child. So Haley Byrd then comes in and says, Bob Corker goes on the record with a view many congressional Republicans have privately expressed for months. And we had Susan Collins caught on tape a little while back talking to a Democratic colleague, also saying that she's worried about the mental stability of Donald Trump. Look, these are weird, amazing times where we have a president who is mentally unstable. Look, that's not a political attack, it's not hyperbole. That is, according to Republicans, the state of affairs today. Now, Bob Corker has admitted it publicly, some have been caught admitting it privately, but apparently almost all of them know it. This is the state of the world. So, of course, what is the administration going to do? They're going to counterattack. Of course! So they do it with Kellyanne Conway. This ought to be good. First, she sends a tweet. She says about Bob Corker's quotes, incredibly irresponsible. Really? You're going to say someone else's tweets are incredibly irresponsible. That's hilarious. Here she is on TV saying the same thing.
We've all worked with Senator Corker over the years. We thank him for his service, but I find tweets like this to be incredibly irresponsible. It adds to the insulting that the mainstream media and the president's detractors, almost a year after this election, they still can't accept the election results. It adds to their ability and their cover to speak about a president of the United States, the president of the United States, in ways that no president should be talked about.
How about no president should ever talk about other people in those ways? I mean, what kind of a president goes around tweeting about how, oh, well, he begged for my endorsement about Bob Corker. Those are tweets. And of course, as always, who started it? Donald Trump started it. He started with his insane, irresponsible tweets against a fellow Republican. Look, I love Republican infighting. I like tacos. So God bless. But this is serious stuff. This isn't about normal political infighting. This is about we've got a dangerous guy in office. And they turn around going, can you believe that Bob Corker has made some irresponsible tweets? With a straight face. When you need someone to say something preposterous, but do it with a straight face, Kellyanne Conway is your person for that. But she's not alone. They had tweeted out that segment from Fox and Friends. But we've got more Fox outrage at everyone but Trump.
Whatever Bob Corker thought, he could have done it personally and privately. The president takes his calls. They golf together. So to go public with these critiques are just, I think it's self-serving.
Disrespectful.
Yeah.
But Trump went public first. He went and sent the tweets saying that he basically ran Bob Corker out of town and that he wouldn't endorse him and that's why he had to run and he has no guts. And all that stuff, and you just conveniently leave that out and go, yeah, I get your response. I can't believe this. No respect. Enter to it publicly. Why don't you just call him? Why didn't Donald Trump call him? Why didn't Donald Trump call his own Secretary of State instead of saying, hey, give it a break, Rex. Don't do diplomacy with North Korea. You've got a phone. It's the White House. Make the call. But if the president needs fluffing, Fox and Friends is there for him. They are ready to step up and serve. They serve at the pleasure of the president. Indeed. Okay, moving to Pence. So Mike Pence went to a football game, kind of. So of course he was the governor of Indiana before he became vice president. My favorite thing that I quote every once in a while is that in introducing him at the RNC, they said, oh, everybody in Indiana knows Mike. He's got a nickname there. We call him Mike. No, that's not a nickname. That's his actual name. Anyway, so he went, but he found out, oh my God, that people are kneeling during the national anthem. Did you guys know that? He didn't know that. So he went to the Colts game, finds out, and they're playing the 49ers. That's the team that Kaepernick used to be on. Color him surprised to find out that people are disrespecting the anthem. So he gets up and walks out. And then he has these tweets ready immediately afterwards. And he tweets out, I left today's Colts game because President of the United States and I will not dignify any event that disrespects our soldiers, our flag, or our national anthem. Wow, okay. And he says, now more than ever, we should rally around our flag and everything that unites us. One more. While everyone is entitled to their own opinions, I don't think it's too much to ask NFL players to respect the flag and our national anthem. So he just, these guys who are kneeling, I didn't see that coming. But you know what, I'm not going to watch the game, even though I had come to watch the football game here, because I'm a big football fan. That's why they call me Mike. Okay, and he walked right out. And then people start to notice something funny. So here's a tweet that Mike Pence sent of a picture of him at a football game, at a Colts game. Here, let's look to put it up. Now, this is from 2014, cheering our Colts with First Lady of Indiana as they kick off the second half. Go Colts, beat the Jaguars. So that's from 3 years ago. Now show me the tweet from yesterday. Wait a minute, that looks to be the same picture, but just ever so slightly darker, saying looking forward to cheering for our Colts and honoring the great career of Peyton Manning. That's another thing they were doing yesterday at Lucas Oil Stadium today. Go Colts, he's ready for it. Hey, at least he was 3 years ago. So here's the picture side by side. Yep, that's the same shirts on the people behind him. That's the same exact picture. Just try a little bit hard. You couldn't take a picture. You were there for 30 seconds. You couldn't take a picture. Like maybe even you like huffing and puffing like, like as you're looking at the people kneeling. They can't help themselves. They're pathological liars. They have to lie about everything. So was this a PR stunt? Of course it was. They wasted our taxpayer dollars. I'll get to that in a second. But as people are debating yesterday, whether it was a PR stunt and he meant to walk out the whole time, and that's why he bothered going all the way to Indianapolis to walk out of a game and not actually watch it. Well, Donald Trump in his usual idiotic ways solved it for us by admitting it was a PR stunt. Now, he's too stupid to realize he admitted it, but this is what he tweeted afterwards. He said, I asked Vice President Pence to leave the stadium if any players kneeled, disrespecting our country. I am proud of him and Second Lady Karen. You weren't supposed to say that in public. The whole plan was Pence goes there, I'm just going to watch a game and honor Peyton Manning. You see that picture I put in from 3 years ago, right? And then he finds out that they're kneeling, he's outraged, and in that outrage he walks out. That doesn't work if you tell us afterwards that you put him up to it. It's dangerous to have a man this stupid in the White House. So he blows the whole thing, of course, as usual. Now we go to others. Abby Phillips says, seems to imply, referring to that tweet, the early departure was planned at great taxpayer expense. That's exactly what it implies. But then Peter Alexander from NBC News has an important component to this that actually is breaking news. He says, flag, was Pence leaving Colts game a political stunt? Reporters were told to stay in the van because, quote, there may be an early departure from the game. So, ladies and gentlemen, this issue is solved. It was definitely a PR stunt. They told the reporters, don't go anywhere, we're going to be leaving soon. They knew that their players were going to kneel. They knew that they were going to leave pretending to be outraged. And they did the whole trip because of that. So then CNN, good job here of tallying the numbers. Their estimate of how much that trip cost American taxpayers, $242,500. So the guys who claim that they care about balanced budgets and fiscal responsibility and draining the swamp just threw $250,000 out to do a political stunt for themselves. It is beyond gross. So according to CNN, the Republican National Committee will reimburse some of the costs of Pence's flight to Los Angeles because Pence is attending a political event there. So this is to cover their ass afterwards when they Trump admits that it was a PR stunt and they're like, God damn it. Now, okay, yeah. We mean, of course, we'll cover not even all the costs, but some of the costs, because he was also going to LA. By the way, what was he going to LA for? Of course, a fundraiser, where he was going to go talk to Republican donors and say, remember, we're giving you trillions of dollars in tax cuts. And then he did the PR stunt on his way to the important work of doing legalized bribery. So Citizens for Ethics crew tweets out, can we just make it through a weekend without this administration abusing taxpayer dollars with jet travel? And obviously that's a reference to all the different controversies related to that. Ryan Zinke is the latest, but Tom Price already resigned, the Health and Human Services Secretary, because of how much he abused taxpayer money in his private travels. And now we have the Vice President doing it for political reasons. But I think Eric Reed put it best afterwards. He's a member of the 49ers who were playing the Colts that day. And here's what he had to say.
My honest reaction, first of all, does anybody know the last time he's been to a football game? Okay, with that being said, he tweeted out a 3-year-old photo from him at a Colts game. So with the information that I have, the last time he's been to a Colts game is 3 years ago. So this looks like a PR stunt to me. He knew our team has had the most players protest. He knew that we were probably going to do it again. And so this is what systemic oppression looks like. A man with power comes to the game, tweets a couple of things out and leaves the game with an attempt to thwart our efforts.
This is what systemic oppression looks like. Couldn't have said it better myself. Now remember, when the NFL owners are basically de facto doing a blockade on Colin Kaepernick and won't let him back in the league, when it is preposterous to claim that he's not one of the top 100 quarterbacks in the country. It is insane to claim that. Okay, that's one thing. They're allowed to do that. It's private enterprise. I completely disagree with their actions. I protest their actions. But that is not a First Amendment issue, because the NFL, as big as it is not the US government. But now, when you have the US government in the form of the Vice President coming to games to intimidate people that are exercising their First Amendment rights, well, now we've got a government issue, we've got a First Amendment issue. So it's not just that they wasted our money, it's not just that it was a cheap, stupid political stunt. But now we're having some significant First Amendment issues as the government tries to intimidate the freedom of speech. That's a core constitutional problem. And Mike Pence and Donald Trump revel in it. And that's the state of the White House today. Okay. I got to take a quick break here. When we come back, very beautiful soft towels. Donald Trump explains why he threw towels in Puerto Rico. You're not going to be surprised to find out that there are amazing parts of that answer. Don't miss that. And how the Russians planned a right-wing neo-Nazi protest in America, and it worked. Too many amazing stories in today's show. Come right back, we'll share it with you. All right, back on a Young Turks. Sloopy Drew writes in, what's Super Chat? Does it come with a cape? All right, that's fun. I don't know, go to YouTube and find out. YouTube.com/TYT, when the show is live, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern, you not only get the show, you get the chats. Well, the chat room is dark and full of terrors. But if you've written a fun or interesting or funny message on YouTube Super Chat, that actually helps the show by contributing to the show, and we read some of those. That's what it is. I answered it very literally. I grant you that. Tom Sherry says, what have you done, America? You've elected a dangerous madman with access to nuclear weapons. Yeah, that's what we did, Tom. That's what we did. Okay. And finally, Chris Bradshaw says, you have to be a really special kind of snowflake to travel halfway across the country just to act offended. Great point, Chris. Exactly right. Okay. Now, let's go to this snowflake over here. Okay. I mean, God, they're so, aren't they amazing? Everything is projection. They call everybody snowflakes, and no one gets more easily offended than Trump, which is part of the point of this story. All right, so let me give it to you. Donald Trump went on Mike Huckabee's program on Trinity Broadcasting Network. So Huckabee's former governor of Arkansas ran against Donald Trump briefly, got his ass handed to him, and now spends most of his time sucking up to him. But they started the interview very informally, talking about Huckabee's daughter, who's Huckabee Sanders, the press secretary for Donald Trump. Oh, this is cute. Let's watch.
President, let me get right to the most important question I'm going to ask you today. Tell me, how good is your press secretary?
Well, I think she's perhaps one of the most talented I've ever known. She's, and actually, look, first of all, your daughter is a great person. She is a great human being, and she stepped in. And it's not easy. You know, you have a lot of haters out there screaming questions. When I look at those people, they're just hating. They never thought this was going to happen, and it happened for a lot of good reasons. But she has done it with brilliance and with coolness, and we're very, very happy with the job she's doing. Sarah's a very exceptional person.
You just know that
you did a good job. Your wife did a better job.
Probably. My wife did a better job. And just know that we will forever vote for you for having just said those things about my daughter.
I understand that.
Okay, all right. Now that circle jerk is done, in that case, quite literally, since they're both jerks, I think you got it. Anyway, let's go to the heart of this interview. This is about the criticism he took for his attitude in Puerto Rico. Look, I don't want to rehash the whole thing, but he went over there and he's like, oh, you put our budget out of whack. He implied that Puerto Ricans were lazy and were not helping in their own rescue efforts. He went after the mayor. And then he thought he was having a good time, so he started throwing paper towels when he was giving away much needed supplies. Here, let's take a look at that video real quick. That's the president. In the middle of a disaster, if it was another story and he went and he's doing a campaign stop, that's actually kind of fun. But people died. And he's like, you know, Hurricane Katrina was bigger. That was a real hurricane. But okay, all right, fine. Hey, let's have some fun. And he told some people that to have a good time. Oh my God. So Huckabee, of course, is going to do a very hard hitting interview about this. Let's watch.
We really did a good job. I mean, one example, they had these beautiful soft towels, very good towels. And I came in and there was a crowd of a lot of people and they were screaming and they were loving everything. And I was having fun. They were having fun. They said, throw them to me, Mr. President. And so I'm doing some of the.
They had these beautiful soft towels. Everything has to be over the top. They're just normal paper towels. I have no idea how beautiful or soft they are. These beautiful soft towels, okay? And people are like, throw them to me. So I threw them to them. First of all, even if they told you to throw them to them, you're the president. You should just pause for a second and go, wait, is that a good idea or does this look really stupid? So now, but it turns out, of course, it's the media's fault. All these are awesome. Wait till you get to the last clip. You're gonna love it. All right, here we go. Here's more.
So the next day they said, oh, it was so disrespectful to the people. It was just a made up thing. And also when I walked in, the cheering was incredible.
You were rock star. I saw the video of it.
It was crazy. The cheering was deafening. They turned down the sound so that you just heard the announcers, Donald Trump.
Oh, you were a rock star. It was crazy. I was such a big star. It was a hurricane. You were supposed to go to help with relief because people had died. And at that point, we still couldn't reach folks because communication was down. The roads were down. And they said, I was a rock star. I was great. The media is not telling the truth about how great I was. The people of Puerto Rico loved me. Yeah, let's do a poll, see if that's true. But it isn't about you. God, he is so self-absorbed. He's such a child. He's such an egomaniac. And Huckabee is there helping him. Like, oh, you're almost finished, Donald. Keep going. Oh, you're such a rock star. Oh, you're almost there, Donald. So now he's going to go after his critics. Watch.
We have a mayor of San Juan, Puerto Rico, who didn't attend meetings, who didn't work with FEMA, who really did not do a very good job. In fact, did a very poor job. And she was the lone voice that we saw. And of course, that's the only voice the media wanted to talk to. And she's running for governor. Just, you know, big surprise. I know you're shocked to hear that. She's running for governor. But she's not a capable person. And my people were telling me that to start off with. So we did a great job.
Remember, everybody, we did a great job. I'm awesome. I want you to remember that. And anybody who's ever criticized me because their people are suffering and dying, they're running for governor. Yeah, she's terrible, terrible. Maybe you should help her recover from the hurricane. No. She criticized me. I hate her. Okay, how about people who praise you? Ooh, that's a different story. Let's watch.
The governor is a terrific guy who was praising the job we've done. Almost every mayor, I think there's over 70, were praising us. And they were praising us. The congresswoman was terrific. Single congresswoman represents, you know, Congresswoman Jennifer Gonzalez-Colon. She represents 3.5 million people, actually the most of any congressperson. But she has been incredible in her praise of the job we've done.
Well, look, I give him credit. He pulled out the name. For a second there, you all thought he wasn't going to be able to say the name, right? Anyway, now remember, everybody, all about me. Everybody's praising me. What? Hurricane? What? Coming in? What's that? Oh, people died. Remember, back to the praise of me, Megalomaniac 101. Okay, now here comes the ending.
The media is really the word, I think one of the greatest of all terms I've come up with is fake. I guess other people have used it perhaps over the years, but I've never noticed it.
It's serious times, and the hurricanes are serious. The guy can start World War III, but really, no one else had used the word fake before. Well, at least you hadn't noticed it. Edwin, anybody use the word? I haven't noticed it. That's the first time I've heard the word fake. Even if he meant fake news, the phrase fake news, first of all, has of course existed in the past, but was used about the fake news websites that were supporting him during the election. That's where it came from. I invented the word fake. And have I told you during this interview how great I am? This national embarrassment is our president. We got to get him out of office immediately. Immediately. Before God knows what he does with those beautiful soft towels. You know, only a third of the country supports you, Mr. President. Yeah, not true. That's a word I invented called fake. In fact, most people support me. They love me. They praise me all the time. It's crazy. It's crazy. The support for me is deafening. And Huckabee's going there. Oh, yeah, Mr. President, you're so right. Mr. President, go get him. Somebody bring him some beautiful soft towels. Well, by the end, unfortunately, they did need some towels to wipe up. Gross. Okay. Do I have time for the last story? I do not. I will save this for tomorrow. This is an amazing story of how the Russians are instigating the right wing here in America, and it's working, even getting them to do protests. So we'll do that on the show tomorrow. Let's go to the second hour here, where there's some amazing stories. FBI is now saying that black activists are, quote, black identity extremists, dubbed with an unbelievably racist ad. We'll show that to you. You'll see it. And then cocaine on the program. We'll be back.